So good morning, everybody. First of all, I have to apologize. David Gans told me he was not going to be here today, and that usually triggers an acknowledgement in my mind that I have to find another person to do the sound. Didn't happen this time. Just went right by me. So we have recording equipment. It was August. He said that. I didn't say that. We have a sound device that's recording, so we'll be available. We'll be able to put the meeting up on the archives, but that will require that people, when they want to speak, will have to come here, which is why there's a blank chair next to me. So when you're called on to speak, you'll have to come here and talk to the recorder. Do you mind doing that?
Wow.
Well, thank you, Frank. Okay. I was going to, and you don't get to move away if somebody says something you don't like, okay? Okay, very good. Thank you very much. So Frank will move the sound equipment around to pick up voices. And I think we're ready to call the meeting to order and ask the secretary to take roll.
Okay. Agamir is not here. Bernstein?
Here.
Bernstein is here. Drake?
She's on vacation.
Okay. Drake is not here. Fest?
Here.
Fest is here. Futrin? Futrin is not here.
Let me explain. Sasha's house was broken into and her computer and a bunch of personal items were stolen late yesterday, and she's dealing with that today. She was meeting with the police this morning, and she had to go to her bank and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, yeah. Sasha's not here.
Okay. Gans?
Out of town.
Goldmacher?
Out of town.
Goldmacher's not here. Con Hallinan?
Here.
Con Hallinan is here. Matthew Hallinan?
Here.
Matthew Hallinan is here. Johnson? Johnson is not here. Coburn?
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil.
He will be here. He's coming late.
Okay. Al Markham is not here.
Okay.
Nor?
Here.
Nor is here. Pritchett?
Here.
Pritchett is here. Privis?
Here.
Privis is here. Rosenberg?
Here.
Rosenberg is here. Russell?
Tanya is ill and will not be with us today.
Okay. Russell is not here. Sawyer?
Sawyer
is not here. Okay.
Okay.
Siegel?
Here.
Siegel is here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Aki Tanaka is here. Kate Tanaka.
Here.
Kate Tanaka is here. Turner.
She'll be late.
Okay. Elmarker is not here for the moment. Wilkinson.
Here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers. And Withers is not
here.
Yeah. Okay. I saw him before.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's 14 present and a quorum.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Excusing, you want?
The first item of business will be to excuse Drake, Futron, Gans, Goldmacher, Russell. Does anyone know about Cynthia?
Yes.
She's coming later. Okay. All right.
And Sharam
is coming later as well. Okay. So let's do excuses for Drake, Futron, Gans, Goldmacher, and Russell. Thank you. Is there any objection to excusing those members? Thank you. All right. Is the thing picking me up okay? Can we tell? Oh, Laura said it's all right. And so the next item is to approve the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Yes? All right. So Tracy has made a motion. I take that as a motion to strike item number 4 because she says there are no minutes to approve. Are there any other additions or corrections to the minutes? All right. Seeing none, I will take a vote on Tracy's motion. All those in favor of striking item number 4 from the agenda, please raise your hands.
Are there?
Yes.
Sir.
There are minutes from July as well.
There are July minutes. I'm sorry, I should have clarified that. There are both two sets of minutes to approve. There are the July minutes to approve and the August minutes
and
to approve.
And then the agenda to strike the August, then the motion to strike the August minutes.
Okay. So Tracy is moving to strike the August minutes. I'm sorry. Can we see the yes votes again, please?
So this is to strike the August minutes.
Yeah. From the agenda.
Uh-huh.
Eight no.
It's not even on yet.
Well, it is. It's part of it. The minute. Item number 4 covers minutes for both August and July. I'm sorry that wasn't clear on the agenda. Those opposed?
Eight yes in favor of striking and five
right.
Opposed.
Okay. All right. So the August minutes are deleted from the agenda. Now we're dealing with the July minutes. Does everyone have copies of the July minutes?
No, you're dealing with approving the agenda.
Right. Are there any other additional amendments to the agenda? All right. Can we approve the agenda as amended? Any objections to approving the agenda as amended? Thank you. Okay. So now we're dealing with the July minutes.
Before we get to that,
yes, Mal.
I'd like to move that we limit debate to 3 minutes a person.
Okay. Mal's made the motion to limit debate to 3 minutes per person. Is there any discussion on the amendment on that motion?
No, but there's an objection.
Who makes the motion?
Any discussion?
Yes.
No discussion?
Yes.
What, you want to speak? Okay, I'm sorry.
I didn't.
3 minutes. I just think that it's a really great principle for us to try, yes, absolutely, to limit our comments, but not to be limited by these kind of restrictions. So I'm into free speech, and I hope you are too.
Any other comments? Now.
Thank you, Frank. Gonna have you running around all day. I would normally not make such a motion, except that speaking has been used to filibuster in this body, and I object to that.
Any other comments? Henry.
I would like to ask Mel or anybody else if you could cite any specifics of when speaking has been used to filibuster this body.
What specific?
Point of information, you don't need to hold the mic right here. Okay. It's fine. That's going to distort it.
Yeah, if you hold it.
I've got it set to, for about that.
Okay. So what okay. Well, hold on a second. First of all, questions are supposed to be addressed to the chair, and I really don't think.
Yeah, you're not supposed to talk to each other. You're supposed to talk through me. All right, so I will ask Mal if he wants to respond. He doesn't have to, but if he feels like it, he can.
Sure. I remember a meeting where we tried to approve the agenda, and it took over an hour to try to approve the agenda with people making the same comments over and over again and going on and on. I can't cite the date because I don't keep that in my head, but you were there, Henry.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any other comments on this motion? All right. So now, again, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Oh, good Lord. Okay. So the
recording equipment?
No recording equipment. Just the thing.
It's his lunch.
We are I will let the members who have come in have a seat. We are we have been discussing a motion on whether or not to limit debate to 3 minutes. We could repeat the comments if people wanted. Otherwise, I think we need to vote on this. Do people want to can I summarize the comments? Some people feel that by limiting the time, it is unnecessary to limit time, and that it is a limitation on free speech rights. Others think that it is necessary to limit time in order to prevent people from talking at length. And so the motion has been made and seconded that we limit speakers to 3 minutes. And I am about to call the vote.
Can we just note the arrival of...
Oh, yes, the arrival of Andrea Turner, Jack Kurzweil, Cynthia Johnson, and Rich Withers. Okay. And we just took a vote in which we did by a show of hands, so I'll ask for a show of hands on this as well, if that's okay with people. All those in favor of limiting speakers to 3 minutes, please raise your hands. Yeah.
Everybody who's voting yes, have their hand up. Eight yes.
No.
Nine no.
Okay. So there will be no limit on time limit on speakers today. However, I would implore people to keep their comments brief. We are now at the point of approving the minutes for July. Does everybody have the July minutes? They were sent out on email, and they are available on the back table if you don't have them. Okay, are there any additions or corrections to the July minutes? Anybody want to make any corrections to the July minutes? They were sent to you on email about 6 weeks ago, I think. All right, the chair will entertain a motion to approve. Con Hallinan moved. Do I have a second? Mal Bernstein seconded. Are we ready to vote? All those in favor of approving the July minutes, please raise your hands. Those opposed, please raise your hands. Abstentions. Okay, so I saw one abstention. Was I right? So was there one abstention? Okay.
No.
Was there? Yes, yes.
Who?
Andrea Pritchett abstained, right? Am I right about that? Okay. So we have one abstention, no votes. All right. Now we are ready to move forward. We are at the point of public comments. Did everyone who wants to speak get their name on a list? So can someone bring me the list, please? We don't have a sound system today because I goofed. And so Frank is going to bring the recorder back there to record comments. Hold on one second. I'm just going to list, I'm going to list the names, and you all are going to speak in the order in which I announce your names, and I won't be speaking again. Con Helen Ann is keeping time and will notify you when your time is up. So I have Virginia Browning and Joy Moore. 3 minutes. Okay, so you each have 3 minutes. Virginia Browning, followed by Joy Moore.
Virginia is passing.
So, my name is Joy Moore. I want to thank you all for your service to the station. This is a very difficult job, I know, because I did it 10 years ago, and it has only gotten worse. I wanted to first reiterate my support for the apprenticeship program. I'd like to come here to keep it on your mind. I know some of you are saying, Joy always says the same thing, but it is the lifeblood and the only true attempt to fulfill the mission of the station. We bring in diverse voices. We bring in the community. And the apprenticeship program really strives to embody the mission of KPFA. And one of the tools that we use is we use radio training to teach community. In other words, the radio training is just a tool to get us to the place where we can bring in diverse people from different communities and get them to work together in harmony, something I do not see on this board. And in fact, from the outside, it looks like the Republicans versus the Democrats. You guys sit separate, you vote separately in a block, you rarely communicate with each other in the meetings, and I think it's appalling. It certainly does not embody or reflect the mission of KPFA. And so I'm not chastising you, as I said before. I know this is a hard job. But I think someone needs to remind all of us about humanity and the need to respect each other. And I think in the heat of the battle, unfortunately, it's a battle, we forget that. The other thing is I've heard some disturbing rumors that the PNB, the Pacifica National, or someone is attempting to take the fiduciary responsibility or fiscal responsibility from KPFA and move it somewhere else. And I'm here to tell you, I am at the station day in and day out, week in and week out, and one of the hardest working people we have, besides Barbara, is our fiscal manager, Maria. Maria is selfless. She gives of herself. She's a bright spot. And when she first came to KPFA, she was so sunny and happy and inviting and welcoming. And I said, oh, my God, that's going to change. But it hasn't. That makes her an exceptional human being. And so we're almost always threatened by truth around here. And I want you guys to stop it, if you can, and take the fact that this woman works hard to be truthful and honest, keep the record straight, and she deserves some consideration, as well as the position itself. Thank you. Oh, and I support Andrew Phillips wholeheartedly. It's not a personal thing.
Thank you, Joy. This is now, hang on to that, Frank, because this is the moment that board members get to make announcements. And so anyone who wants to make an announcement, raise your hand. Go ahead, Frank.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry I missed last week's meeting and I didn't get to invite a bunch of you to our apprenticeship graduation, but it was a success. And the last group 36, I think, just graduated. We have 37 and 38 in the station now. And
38.
So the next graduation, I'll be sure to inform you all. And 10-year
anniversary.
Our 10-year anniversary is coming up of the apprenticeship program show Full Circle, which will, this year, I'm not sure what month, will be on the air 10 years. So we're going to have some sort of celebration. We're not sure yet. We're working on that, and we'll let you all know. And also, I think the last time I was here, I mentioned that the KPFA parking lot sale was going to happen, and it happened the same day of the meeting I missed, unfortunately. But the parking lot sale, unlike the meeting, was a success, and We raised, I think it was $2,200, thanks to listeners coming by, people passing by, and thanks to the station and Phil, whoever donated, however that works, where we get old premiums to sell at the parking lot sale, along with clothes and other stuff. So that's my announcement. Thank you all. And anybody else?
Hi. I have two announcements. One, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Occupy Forum, and they were having forums in San Francisco at the Women's Building on Monday nights, and that has ended, but it's being carried forward with something called Occupy Forum in the Park, and that's going to be at Bradley Manning Plaza on Mondays, 6 to 9 p.m., outdoors. And this Monday, the topic is capitalism obsolete? And gerrymander is going to be the featured speaker. And then there are discussions also. That's part of it. So that's one announcement. I'm sorry, Justin Herman Plaza. And actually, I think in 2 weeks after, the week after, I can't remember who the speaker will be, but the 2 weeks after will be Cecile Pineda, who will be speaking about her tango with, I can't remember the name, about Fukushima. She wrote a book about it. Anyway, the other announcement is that probably most of you are familiar that September 17th is the one-year anniversary of Occupy. And so there are going to be a lot of different actions all around the Bay Area. In San Francisco, there are going to be such things as occupying bank branches and by various groups, and then there's going to be a convergence at 555 California Street in San Francisco, and that's there's a building that has Goldman Sachs offices and other bank offices, and there are going to be some I think some speakers, but also an action of debt burning. People are going to bring their student debts, their mortgages, whatever that, and burn them and maybe compost them. And so, and then there's going to be a march, of course, but done.
Anybody else? Andrea?
For anybody who's interested, tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Nebel Proctor Library, I'm going to be speaking with the mother of Alan Bluford, and we're going to be talking about, it's a Green Party forum, and we're going to be talking about police brutality and police accountability and giving some updates and inviting some conversation about what the heck do we do. So 5 o'clock, Nebel Proctor Library, Green Party Forum on police accountability. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you. I won't go through all the things, but I just want to briefly, thank you. Breathe, huh? one of the great musicians of Cuba is going to be at La Peña on the 19th and the Brava Theater on the 20th of September. And we have all kinds of things happening at the fellowship, but I'll just put out flyers. Two major things of our age group. Dave Welsh is doing a CD release party on September 22nd, a great thing with the Freedom Song Network and good people. And the 29th, Country Joe McDonald is doing a world premiere on His Life is Country Joe, a one-man show. And, you know, we couldn't do none of those things without KPFA, so let's all work together. Thanks.
Okay, everybody who wanted to make an announcement has had their opportunity. Thank you very much. Now we're at the chair's report. I will just say that I've been sort of, August was a bad month for me. I mean, in terms of KPFA, it was a good month for me because I was out of town a lot, and I missed a lot of emails and didn't follow up on some things, and I apologize for that. One thing that I wanted to talk to you about and that is on the agenda later today is the memo from Terry Barishas, who is the National Election Supervisor, And that has to do with the fact that we are required to set up a procedure by which someone may request a waiver of the membership fee in order to be a member of the station for voting purposes. I didn't know about this, and he asked me, and I said that in the time that I had been on the board, as far as I knew, no one had ever requested a waiver. And he said, do you have a procedure in place? And I said, no. And he said, well, you have to have one. So he sent me a memo, which you all got by email, and you should have copies of in front of you, and that we'll, we will be taking that up later, and I urge people to be prepared for that. The CAB will also be reporting later today concerning the fact that it's time to appoint new members to the CAB, and we need to talk about how to go about that. One of the requirements in the information from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is that the fact that there is a CAB and people's ability to be on the Community Advisory Board, which is what CAB stands for, must be in some way publicized to the community that the radio station serves, or to the various communities that the radio station serves. And one of the things that we need to note is that it is not necessary to be a member of KPFA to be on the CAB. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting says that we not only have the opportunity to do that, we are encouraged to invite people who are not members of the radio station to serve on the CAB. So keep that all in mind. That's all coming up later today. Thank you very much. Now it's time for the IGM report, and this goes to Andrew. Thank you, Frank. You're going to get yours.
I'm good.
Thanks, Frank.
I think if you just leave it sit here, it'll be fine.
That'll be fine. Thank you, Frank. Good morning, everybody. As you know, Pacifica has a new executive director. PNB Chair Summer Rees took up the position as of August 17, and Arlene Engelhardt left the premises, KPFA, at the end of last month. This rapid change was a surprise to most of us, as was the apparent sudden change of allegiances among some on the PNB, which seemed to be a precursor to this change. It seemed unethical, confusing our staff and our audience. Though I had differences with Arlene Engelhardt, I respected her work ethic and her dedication to Pacifica. I can say that, like me, other Pacifica managers were very surprised and concerned at the way this sudden change occurred, and have registered that with the PNB in writing. We managers expect the process of selecting a new executive director to proceed post-haste and expect the PMB to post this information immediately. But now we should move on. The interim executive director and I have had a number of meetings, and I believe we can work together for the overall benefit of the foundation. Since I've been asked many times about the background of the interim executive director, I thought it may be helpful to read into the record some of the diverse experience of Summer Rees gleaned from her KPFK LSB 5-year-old election statement. With your permission, I'll read that into the record, Madam Chair. Summer Rees describes herself as a political activist, single mother, long-term vegetarian, legal professional from a political and artistic household where she was homeschooled. She says, as a paralegal and accounting professional for over a decade, I've worked in the 501c3 non-profit and ballot initiative worlds, as well as in the courts and administrative systems. I serve on the board of the Los Angeles South Central Farmers and am actively involved in the legal matters of an important political assassination case. I don't know what that case is. As a delegate to the National Latino Congress, my mother and I campaigned successfully for a resolution supporting the South Central Farmers and co-authored a successful resolution demanding bi-national investigations and justice for the murdered women of Juarez in Mexico. Summer is on the KPFK ICE, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Raids Task Force, and other efforts to keep the community informed at KPFA. Apparently, KPFK advertises the fact when there are ICE blockades, and they have a task force, which is an interesting idea. She is a homeless advocate in Los Angeles Skid Row. She's a member, Artists Against Homelessness, a political organization in New York City. Anti-death penalty work with the Arkansas Peace Center, secretary treasurer of the California Hemp Initiative, member of the ACLU Ad Hoc Drug Policy Committee. She lobbies with the National Organization of Women in Sacramento, protesting the destruction of affirmative action, protesting conditions at Cochran Prison, co-founder of SWAN, Stop the War Against Women Now, and office manager of the Freedom Law School. I don't know much about that law school. As PMB chair in August 2011, when Hurricane Irene caused the evacuation of downtown Manhattan, including WBAI, the station shut down at a critical time, summer, with the support of Arlene Engelhardt, rushed in where angels feared to tread, and working with a professional KPFK broadcaster, Kerry Harrison, who had his own studio in LA, they broadcast from LA back to WBAI to report the situation, which enabled New Yorkers to call LA, and from LA back to WBAI maintain the link with WBAI's audience at this critical time. It was vintage Pacifica radio, and Arlene supported her. She won an LA Press Achievement Award for that, and she's never before been on the radio. It was unconventional, but it worked in the moment. Moving on to our convention coverage, as you know, KPFA was central to the convention coverage. It was went through our technical facilities. I believe we acquitted ourselves with distinction, though some wondered why we were even covering the conventions. The ancillary interviews with a wide variety of commentators certainly provided an alternative view from mainstream outlets, and I think did credit to Pacifica. At the same time, there are legitimate concerns about why Pacifica did not more fully cover alternatives more deeply, rather than just the two-party horse race. Part of the answer to this is because there's currently no national infrastructure to produce national program. The election coverage was largely organized by Pacifica technical staff who deserve credit, but are not deemed national producers. We did this coverage on a wing and a prayer. I expect there'll be a post-mortem to go over what worked and what didn't so we can do even better next time, but I want to publicly acknowledge and thank the work of our election team. Budget and budget process. Our treasurer and KPFA business manager have both been working long and hard on the KPFA budget. But our income projections have been cut back quite severely by the National Finance Committee. We figured that with our new morning lineup and the employment of the Gold Busters Development Organization, we could increase revenue in financial year FY13. And after all, budgets are guesstimates, and I think our projections were reasonable. But the NFC have pushed to cut our association with Gold Busters, though the jury's still out on this. We designed a budget with a modest surplus and no staff cutbacks. The NFC, however, has curtailed our budget, implying potential staff cuts. We expect our revenue streams will improve sufficiently over the coming year to ensure there will, however, be no staff reductions necessary at this time. The NFL seems agreeable to review the KPFA budget midway through FY13. Last month, we met with the CFO, who finally agreed the KPFA had overpaid central services to the tune of more than $100,000. There are still outstanding differences between what the Pacifica National Office and the CFO claim KPFA owes, and KPFA's accounting numbers still don't comport one with the other. They have to do with billbacks and other book entries, which go back quite a long way, and it's possible and complicated. It may not actually be resolvable, but we have been working on it, and it was good to get that clarification and acknowledgement that, in fact, KPFA has substantially overpaid central services. Andrea Pritchard also, I think 2 or 3 months ago now, submitted a development plan, which I've passed on to the interim executive director, and that is under consideration as well. UPSO, the unpaid staff organisation. As we all know, it's election season for the nation and Pacifica. Working with our dedicated election supervisor, Aaron Morris, we're in final stages of assembling an eligible voter list. And whilst the current unpaid staff organisation is not officially constituted, it nevertheless is the only body we have to represent unpaid staff, and though not perfect, was acceptable to me as its representative
authentically representative unpaid staff. I believe the election supervisor agrees, and we look forward to a fair and efficient election process. Digital growth in radio. Many times I've talked about the need to support and upgrade KPFA and Pacifica's web presence to take advantage of multimedia technologies. There are elements that work against making the necessary change in the current budget discussion with the, and in the current budget discussion with the National Finance Committee, KPFA has been told that our web expenses are too high, so that rather than being encouraged to expand our web presence, we're being hobbled with less money and input into our information technology budget lines. Whilst I agree that there needs to be knowledgeable auditing of our web expenses and how they are applied at KPFA and Pacifica, we still need a task force or a directive to seriously explore creation of a multimedia transmedia platform at Pacifica and KPFA. I don't believe the current staff at KPFA has the interest or skill set to accomplish this. If they had, then I think it would have happened long before, but it has not. We need fresh eyes to help KPFA and Pacifica get hip and embrace new technologies that have the potential to increase revenue and worldwide audience and relevance of this organisation. Here's some digital statistics from the Radio Inc. publication, Radio's premier management and marketing magazine, from May 2012. Smartphone ownership has tripled in 2 years. The majority of Americans own portable digital media. 241 million Americans still listen to radio each week. 224 million Americans access the internet each week, and 116 million of them are also smartphone users. 10 years ago, 13% of Americans had home broadband. Today that number is 70%. Almost 50% of all consumers say the internet is the most essential medium to their lives, up from 20% 10 years ago. So 50% now, 20% 10 years ago, think the internet is essential to their lives. In 2002, online radio reached 12% of Americans. Now it's 40%. More than tripling in 10 years. And they listen for almost 10 hours per week. About 9 in 10 listeners also listen to terrestrial radio each week. Of internet users, I'm assuming, also listen to radio each week. 56% of Americans have social media personal profiles, more than double the number of 4 years ago. The biggest growth in social networking over the last 10 years is among adults in the 45-plus metric. The old folks like us. More than 1 in 5 Americans check their social network several times a day, and some many more times. The source for this study was called The Infinite Dial 2012 Navigating Digital Platforms from Arbitron and Edison Research. I thought it was interesting. The fall fund drive. Our next fund drive commences September 24th through October 17 with a goal of $735,000. And finally, KPFA Speaker Series. Last night, Jonathan Cozell spoke. 2 nights before, Gabriel Mate spoke. Robert Hass comes up on September the 18th. Ralph Nader on October the 10th. George Lakoff, October the 15th. Amy Goodman, October the 21st. And Sam, I don't know, I haven't looked underneath. Sam Gindin and Leo Panitch. More white men, and that's a good point you bring up, and you're not the first to bring it up. And thank you. And Bill McGibbon and Naomi Klein on November the 9th. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
And I'll pass it on as I do to the secretary.
Okay, so now we're ready for questions and comments. We want to... For the record, note that Shram Agamir is here. Did someone else come in? Oh, and Maria Negret have joined us since the last time we talked about who was in the room. So I'll just call on people and. But when you speak, say your name so that Frank doesn't have to keep running back to me with the microphone. It's not a microphone, the recorder. Let me explain to those of you who came in late. I failed to make arrangements to have a sound system here today. So we are recording the meeting for the archives, but that means that the recorder has to move around from speaker to speaker. My plan was to have speakers come and sit here when they talked, but Frank was kind enough to say that he would run around the room and bring the microphone to people. So, the recorder to people. Oh, my brain. Okay, so I'm going to call on people, but just in case your name doesn't make it into the recording, say your name before you speak, okay? And so I saw two hands, Dan and Sharam. Okay, now I'm making a list. Okay, so far I have Dan, Sharam. Go ahead, take it to Dan. Okay.
Thanks. Okay, so this is Dan Siegel. I want to thank you for your report, Andrew, and I have to say I think I agreed with virtually everything you said. I'll tell you what I didn't, but, you know, particularly like you, I was unhappy with the decision not to let Arlene finish out her contract. I saw no good reason for that decision, and gave my thoughts on that issue to the PNB as well. I also very strongly agree with what you said about new media and getting up to speed. You know, some of these issues just linger, right? I mean, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but there are several people who were part of the PNB and part of staff who started talking about these same issues like over 5 years ago and actually developing a plan for doing what you're talking about. And it's very frustrating with Pacifica that people kind of recognize issues but don't address them. And, you know, that's similar to the financial problems at BAI, which have been on the agenda for at least 5 years. I wanted to mention two things in particular. I've really enjoyed a lot of the programming lately on KPFA. I really thought the convention work that was done by Mitch and by Davey D and Margaret Prescott from KPFK was excellent. I liked it much more than the networks or CNN or anything else. And I've also really enjoyed the upfront radio programming in the morning. I want to say something, though, about the morning mix. I was listening to the morning mix yesterday talking about 9/11, and one of the quote-unquote professors made an argument as to why 9/11 was an inside job of the U.S. government. And here's the proof that he presented. Number one, 9/11 was followed a few days later by the anthrax mailings. It turned out that the anthrax that was used in those mailings was produced by the U.S. government. It also turns out that after the 9/11 attack, the people in the White House, including the president, were given anthrax prophylactics. Accordingly, the people in the White House must have known that the anthrax attack was about to happen, and that was clearly part of the U.S. government's 9/11 plan. Now, I don't know about other people, but from my point of view, this doesn't even begin to pass the smell test as an argument. And what does smell to me, though, is that we're really wasting some prime time with conversations like this. And I don't know if other people agree or disagree, but, you know, I don't reject the idea that people have theories and ideas about 9/11 that are apart from the official theory, but I do object to absurdities. The other thing I want to mention, and I hope this doesn't strike a wound, but is UPSO. You know, I believe very strongly that unpaid staff should have the right to an organization, but I also believe very strongly in principles of labor law, which in fact require an organization to establish that it really does represent the people it purports to represent. And going back again several years when Lem Riggio was executive director and proposed to de-recognize UPSO, I suggested to her that as an alternative that the unpaid staff be asked to vote on whether they wanted to be represented by UPSO or another organization or no organization. That seems like a neutral thing that we could do. It's not anti-labor. It's not anti-UPSO. It's simply saying that after years and years and years of no conversation, the staff at Pacifica should tell us who they want to represent them. And I think at some point soon that should happen.
Okay.
Sure.
There's no time limit. The time limit was voted down.
So oh, okay.
I'd appreciate it if you'd speak less than 3 minutes.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. This is Shah Ramag. I'm your staff rep, member of unpaid staff organization. Been working at the station for several years. So I'm going to start with the comment about, actually, believe it or not, I mean, the people who were co-hosting yesterday's show on the morning mix, as I understand it, they are professors. So they're not so-called professors. They're as much of a professor as, you know, Con Halinan was a former professor, right? So I don't necessarily agree with the content of the programming. I have to say that I have problems with some of the things they bring up, even in terms of international issues. But I think it would be appropriate to call people what they are. You know, you don't just call them quote-unquote professors. Secondly, I wanted to say, actually, we had, as far as I'm concerned, and I did raise this issue in the program council when I was a participant in the program council, I just don't see as much value in some of this live coverage of, you know, some of the local politics that we are, national politics, rather, that we are dealing with. And I've raised this issue many times. I think 6 hours of programming on this, these conventions for 2 weeks in a row is not necessarily the best use of our time. I do agree some of the stuff that was presented was good, but I don't really believe in these gabble-to-gabble coverages. You know, I do believe in, you know, the interviews with the activists were good. You know, you get sound clips, you get excerpts from people's presentations, and then you deconstruct them. That's what you do. But you don't, that's the better way of doing it. At the end of the day, I mean, like 1 or 2 hours. 2 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a little too much, 6 hours. You're sort of, basically what you're doing is sort of replicating that whole discourse of a duopoly, you know, basically it's a duopoly of institutional power in the United States, you know. To me, that's what it sounded like, as opposed to, you're sort of legitimizing something, as opposed to trying to deconstruct it, even though I did see alternative narrative in the course of some of these programming. But I do appreciate the fact that programmers did a lot of hard work on this thing, and I want to personally express my gratitude to the host of the program and whoever was involved in the engineering of the program and being involved in the production. I wanted to actually to say something about the unpaid staff organization, and that's why I raised my hand. And I'm glad Dan acknowledged his role in the last debacle that happened to UPSO back in when. He was an IED at the time, and Lem Riggio was an IGM. And I would not like to see another rerun of the same scenario. I think, and I tell you here very clearly and publicly, if anybody wants to declare war on UPSO, we are up for the fight. We're going to fight, like we did last time. So, as the former president said, bring it on. If you want to do it, let's do it. I mean, and I have to say that I don't have any much of an appreciation or gratitude to people who sent that letter to the LSP. The 12 people who did, no, I don't know all of them, But 8 out of 12, I think, or however many there were, I know them. They are it's the same cast of characters who try to, when we were de-recognized and we were trying to re-establish ourselves, they were trying to call our election illegitimate, right? And it was such an interesting cast of characters because some of them were actually offshore council members. They would refuse to meet so that we would not have a quorum, so we wouldn't have any offshore organization. To me, that's lack of integrity. That's very clear to me that that's... So let me say something else about... and, you know, it's no surprise. I think, unsurprisingly, that if you look at the list, 9 out of 10 of them, they do not really represent the demographics of the staff at the station. They are white, of European background, European descent. That's not very representative. And you look at the makeup, the people who wrote that letter, 6 or 7 or 8 of them, they have these shows that are like one-person shows. They have been on for more than 2 decades. Are they representative of the community radio? They are not. And they are not representative of the staff. So all that stuff of Andrew about programming and all that stuff is good. Your statistics are good. But what are you going to do about it? I mean, if you're going to maintain the status quo at the station, I'm not talking about you in person, but I'm addressing the board in general. If you're going to have the same program, you acknowledge all these changes, but you have the same programming as 20 years ago or 15 years ago, minus a few changes, you know, whatever it is. So the major programming change that happened, I'm going to finish with this statement. I want here, actually, for the record, and this is a question to Andrew. I think your remarks regarding OPSO were opaque. Regarding the list, it was clear. But I want clearly for you to sort of demystify your opaque remarks by letting us know, do you actually recognize OPSO or not, unpaid staff organization? And I want this for the record. Thank you.
Andrew, do you want to respond to that?
I can respond or wait for the other questions.
Okay, fine. Let's let Andrew respond to everything at the end. Okay, so I have on the list... Janet, Henry, Andrea, Mal, anybody else? Jack. Okay. So it goes Janet, Henry, Andrea right now.